So listen very well. That is the interesting part of this message. Is that you must apply it to yourself. Read on, sister.
Verse 25. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, that will make known unto the king the interpretation.
Amen.
The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar.
Belteshazzar.
Are thou able to make known unto me the dream of which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, shew unto the king.
But
there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets.
There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. You see a genuine prophet? He didn't say, look at me here, I can show you. He didn't give glory to himself because he didn't know it. There is a God that revealeth secrets. Let's learn something. So that you will know people who have a relationship with God and all these people who have familiar spirits and call themselves prophets. The glory will go to God. That's why I've tried by all means to tell our prophets in this church, I said, listen to the way William Branham prophesied. Listen to the tapes. Read and say, he will always give glory to God. He will quickly tell you that you know I'm not the one. He will quickly announce to them, you know I'm a human being like you, a sinner saved by grace. I can only tell you what he has told me. He will speak like a servant. Not Antichrist. And that's why when people began to that spirit, it was a demon trying to damage his ministry. That they began to say he is Christ again that appeared. I doesn't want people to know that it is Christ. He is the second coming of Christ, otherwise known as Parousia. And then one day I turned and looked at him. He said, you have been battling with it, sitting down there since. He says this. That old serpent. He said, this is where you picked it. And he told him, so-so-so room, so-so-so hotel, you lodge in so-so-so room. That room you slept there, there's a group of people that slept there. They are the ones with that spirit, and they are telling the people, they are the ones going about and saying, propagating that thing that I am not an ordinary person, that I am God. He said, that spirit was hanging there and you came and lodged there. You know, by way of a side comment now, it is because of that. Anywhere, any hotel I go to lodge, immediately they tell me, say that the room is the one I open before I even sit down. Any other spirit hanging here, I'll start doing deliverance first. No matter how tired I am. It is because of that. If they just finish fornication, and then you come there and sleep in that room, that night, you will make love there in your dream. A lusty spirit will just come upon you. You are wondering, which can be all this one? How they come? Yes, spirits, hangover spirits, will hang there. And before you know what, that spirit still went ahead. And William Branham, when he found out, he cried. He preached. He cried with tears, attacking that spirit. And he said he saw in a vision, and he saw that bruised serpent that he gave a testimony of. The serpent came and he took the sword and tried to cut off the head, but he missed the head and cut off the tail. And he said the remaining part of the body with the head entered the water, and he understood what it means, that spirit that deified him has entered the world. Until today, people are baptizing in the name of William Branham. Until today, people are saying they don't need the Bible again. They need William Branham. Until today, you are not a preacher until you can only... You know, all the nonsense that is going on, they have made an idol of William Marion Branham. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, that man tried his best to present Jesus and Jesus alone to the bride. But like multitude, mixed multitude that follow, it follows every revival. But the foundation of God stands sure. There is a bride in this age that had the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original. And the original line is in the Bible here. No new religion anywhere. Hear me, bride of Christ. Don't let anybody use any quote of William Branham and mislead you. Every quote is to bring you to the Bible. If it takes you away from the Bible, it is that old serpent that has taken a hold of you. There is a God that reveals secrets. Next verse. Read it.
Verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and make it known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days.
What is the revelation for? What shall be in the latter days? What shall be? That is the crowning of the revelation that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. God was showing Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And the latter days is these days that we are in now. So why would you be interested also in that dream? When it is showing him something that will come to pass in future. Why will you not be interested about the revelation that God gave that concerns you and me fulfilling in our day? Read on.
Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thought came into thy mind upon thy bed, which should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets, make it known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living.
Humble prophets. Go on.
But for their sake, thou shalt make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold.
Yes.
His breast and his arms of silver.
The breast, that is the chest, and the arm, is another section being described, was of fine silver.
His belly and his thighs of brass.
That is another one, the belly and the thigh side of brass.
His legs of iron.
Now the legs are made of iron.
His feet, part of iron and part of clay.
Now the feet now, part of that feet is clay and another part of it is iron.
Thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces.
Now take note that it didn't smash the head. It didn't smash the hand or the chest. It didn't smash the belly and the thigh. What did it smash? It was the feet it smashed. Go on.
35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain.
That stone became a great mountain
and filled
the whole earth.
This is the dream. and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king.
Hallelujah. What a prophet. What a prophet. That is what Nebuchadnezzar saw. And it is a very funny dream now. What type of image is this? Head, gold. The next part, two hands and the chest, silver. Belly and the thigh, brass. Different metals. Making even mix even with the clay. And suddenly everything crashed. And he woke up. Praise God. Go on.
Verse 37. Uh-huh. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. Uh-huh. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, uh-huh, power and strength and glory.
Uh-huh.
And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, uh-huh, and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thy hand.
Uh-huh.
And have made thee ruler over them all.
Uh-huh.
Thou art this head of gold.
Uh-huh.
And after thee shall arise another kingdom, uh-huh, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise.
Uh-huh.
And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with myrrh clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken.
Uh-huh.
And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with myrrh clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay.
Uh-huh. Please read that verse 43 again for emphasis.
Verse 43. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay,
iron mixed with clay, uh-huh,
they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men,
uh-huh,
but they shall not cleave one to another,
uh-huh,
even as iron is not mixed with clay.
Uh-huh.
And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom.
In the days of these 10 kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Go on.
We shall never be destroyed.
Uh-huh.
And the kingdom shall not be left to other people.
Uh-huh.
But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall stand forever.
Uh-huh.
For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that the breaking pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure.
Hey, praise God. Okay, finish it, verse 46.
Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him.
Hey.
The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods.
He is a God of gods.
And a Lord of kings.
He is a Lord of kings.
And a revealer of
secrets. The revealer of secrets.
Seeing thou couldest reveal this secret.
That is why I say the God of Israel is the only true God. No other God beside him. Go on.
Then the king made Daniel a great man, oh, and gave him many great gifts,
uh-huh,
and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon,
uh-oh,
and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon.
Uh-huh.
Then Daniel requested of the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king.
And the church will say, sit down, sister. Let's look at, you may be seated, let's look at some of the highlights there. If you were following, the question will naturally be asked, why did he choose Nebuchadnezzar to show that dream? One, God was going to, humble Nebuchadnezzar. He was going to humble him. He had to show him something that will humble him. Remember that because of the extent of his power, of his glory, the extent of his kingdom, pride entered him. Let's read chapter 4. Daniel. Verse 29 and verse 30. Chapter 4. Verse 29 and verse 30. At the end of 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar now walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. See what he was saying. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom? By whose might? By the might of my power and of the honor of my majesty." But he forgot. Jeremiah 27. Let's read Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah described him this way. Verse 4 up to verse 8. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, he command, verse 2 says, "Thus said the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyros, and to the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, and command them to say unto their masters," those kings, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall you say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beasts that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemeth meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his sons' sons, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, said the Lord, with a sword, and with a famine, and with a pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand." And so, Nebuchadnezzar, the power you are using is God that gave you. And not only Nebuchadnezzar, every one of us, they are hailing you. They are hailing you because of a glory God has given you. Amen. And these are the things that we know that humble us. That animal, Jesus, said, "Go and lose that animal and come." And then he rode on that animal. And then he was going to the triumphal entry to Jerusalem. A preview of the soon coming king. And then red carpet is put for him. Palms are put for him. And then the line of the streets, a king, "Hosanna, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna to the king." And then they were hailing him. And he was on top of that animal. And the thing was making neck like this. The thing said, "Nahim in the hill." And that animal was thinking that it is the one that those people were hailing, Abby. Let me bring it home. Prophet Joseph. Prophet Sunday. Prophet Timothy. Jayola. Immediately we close now. They are pursuing you. Don't you feel a little bit important? Don't you feel important? They will pursue you. Even said, Pastor Francis, enter my office and say, this is our pastoral office. Chai, God will help us. I say, what thing happened? One sister, where he bring come my office? All of us sit down there together with the prophet. So now Francis bring and come my office. All of us sat down there. Even myself, I give one small revelation to her. The next day, he bring envelope. Call the same Pastor Francis. Say, please go to those prophets and give them this. You know, give us shishi. That is the glory of that office. It is the glory of your office. Now, what I'm saying is, you better know it and let it never escape from your head. That it is because the hand of God is upon you that the people are chasing. It is not you they are chasing. It is not you they love. It is not you they are hailing. If you want to know who you are, go and look for that animal after Jesus Christ stepped down. You may be seated. Go and look for that animal. After Jesus stepped down, they left the animal and continue following Jesus. Where next is going? And that is exactly why he chose Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, you have all this glory. And he was there, lying down on the bed and beginning to think, see all this thing by my power that I acquire. He said, by my might. By my might, I have acquired this. And while he was thinking on that, the vision broke. God showed him, oh yeah, see, it's not only you, I have an agenda of how this world will go through. What this world will go through. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ made a statement in Luke chapter 21. Please, let's read it. Verse 24. Let's read some scriptures quickly. Luke chapter 21. Let's read it. Maybe go back a bit to verse 22, 23 and 24 to just get a picture. For this be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child concerning what would befall Jerusalem. And then he went to verse 24 now. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. The next statement is my emphasis. Until when? Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, Apostle Paul also made another statement in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. We're doing Bible study now. He says, for I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. The next statement is my emphasis. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now listen. Jesus Christ spoke about the times of the Gentiles. And Apostle Paul spoke about the fullness of the Gentiles. Now get the understanding for anybody hearing me for the first time. The fullness of the Gentiles Apostle Paul spoke about is talking about the salvation of the Gentiles after the Jews rejected Christ. The Gentiles received Christ. Christ the word came to the Gentiles, salvation came to the Gentiles, and it is to continue within a space of 7 church ages. And when that period that is allocated to it is fulfilled, that is the fullness. It ends with the rapture. So, after the rapture, then salvation comes back to the Jews. That's why he said blindness in part, because it's not complete blindness. It is in part until the fullness of the Gentiles will come in. When the fullness comes in, then salvation will go back. Zechariah 14, another scripture, speaks about the revival, which starts with the two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. But we know the divine agenda. But my emphasis here is that don't confuse the fullness of the Gentiles with the times of the Gentiles. Now, what is the times of the Gentiles? The times of the Gentiles is the period that God has given to man to rule the earth. And it is divided into 4 different kingdoms, 4 different periods under the rulership of men. Strong empires. And these empires are 4, depicted by that image of a man. Because it is going to be a period of, you know, the rulership of man, by man, not God, by man, yet ordained of God. And this period is going to start from BC 606, for those who love history. Me, I am not after all these theological and historic facts. I am after the picture. All I want to try is to get the picture. But for those that the dates matter too much, all these are just academics. But it will help you make the picture clearer. I will give them. Not that I don't know them. I know them, but I am a preacher. I am not a lecturer. Praise the Lord. I want you to catch a picture that will help you know where to stand. That's my emphasis. But that was the period that under the rulership of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, under his rulership, a prophecy in Jeremiah 25 came forth concerning the desolation of the land. How the Nebuchadnezzar will come and carry them for 70 years in captivity. And that was fulfilled in BC 606. And with that, God was showing Nebuchadnezzar, with the interpretation given by Daniel, that the kingdom is divided. I mean, the world kingdom, the times of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. It will go through 4 different dispensations by 4 different kings, 4 different rulers, 4 different empires. And the first one is you, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. You are that head of gold. He said, after you, another kingdom will come up, depicted by the chest and the hand of silver. Then the next kingdom will come up, the belly and the thigh, as we see on the screen. Hallelujah. Of brass. It will come up. Then the 4th kingdom that will come up. Praise the Lord. This one has 2 feet. And they are made of iron. But these 2 feet had toes. 5 each. Yet it is 1 kingdom. And part of this iron, part of it, the leg, part of the leg is clay. And part of it is iron. And it all has a meaning. Now, I want you to note something. That all the years, God has not called attention of Christians to certain scriptures, because these things can only, they should be revealed at the appropriate time. You will notice the book of Revelation, all these years, nobody has gone round through it because, listen, certain scriptures have to be fulfilled. For the manifestation is the interpretation. Hallelujah. Prophecies are made clear by events. If not, you will be leaving people to argument, if it has not yet fulfilled. But when it is fulfilled, then you can take the fulfillment and fit it into scripture, and there will be no controversy. And that is why it is only in this last age, in this end of time, that God begins to quicken the people into the mysteries and revelations and prophecies that will be fulfilling at this end time. Now, with history now, we can now know from all the description that of the history of the kingdoms of the earth. And when we say the earth, you know, as far as the Bible history was concerned, it is, you know, the countries around the Mediterranean. There are these countries that make up Europe. That is where the headquarters of all the kingdoms. They conquered and conquered up to Egypt and conquered everywhere. But all their headquarters, they were all in Europe. And so, this is the time now that we know that after Nebuchadnezzar, because he gave us a clue to when the times of the kingdom start. Daniel said, you are that head. Therefore, the first kingdom is the Babylonian Empire. And we know from history how that King Darius, the last king of Babylon, how he was defeated. Praise the Lord. He was defeated by who? By the Media, the king of Media. That came that day, and then we know after the handwriting on the wall and the rest. And then the next kingdom was the Medians. Later on, the Persians also came, and these two kingdoms merged into one known today as the Medo-Persian Empire. So that you'll understand why it had two hands. One, the left hand was Media, and the right hand, Persia. They were the two that made up the next empire. The second empire. And this empire was depicted with silver. And after that, it was the Grecians that ended the Medo-Persian Empire. Praise the Lord. They ended the Medo-Persian Empire depicted with the brass. And finally, the fourth empire was Rome. The Roman Empire. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you notice, it was the image of a man. It's a period of the worship of man. The next thing you saw, which is the next chapter that we will go into, chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar immediately erected an image that caused everybody to worship it. The times of the Gentiles starts with the worship of an image, and it will go on And the last form of governance will be the worship of another image. That you'll be forced if you don't worship it. Hallelujah. You will face the punishment. The image of the beast. And there's something I take note of also. Very interesting. That the time of the Gentiles, physically speaking, the time of the Gentiles was divided into four kingdoms. Four different periods. Do you know that when it comes to the church also, the Antichrist spirit that rode through the church ages is also four beasts. The first beast, the second beast, and the third beast. They are horse riders. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And of all the four beasts, the last beast, it is in the days of the last beast, the horse, the last horse rider, his kingdom ends, as far as the church age is concerned, it ends the church ages. And the rapture takes place. The fourth kingdom also of the Gentiles, times of the Gentiles, ends with the last kingdom. Hallelujah. And it is ended with a stone that is cut, that smashes it. Amen. And who is that stone that was cut? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Before we come to that, let's take a look at the characteristic of that image in just a few minutes. Amen. The description of that image that Daniel saw, I want you to take note of something. It starts with gold, then silver, then brass, then iron mixed with clay. Amen. And it is speaking of the deterioration, how deteriorated the system that was strong, how it became weaker and weaker, weaker and weaker and weaker. And it's using those metals. It starts with gold. And the specific gravity, the weight of gold, the specific gravity of gold. Of course, we know gold is more precious than silver. Silver is more precious than brass. Brass is more precious than iron. And then see clay that can just collapse. Bogo. Mixed with iron. The specific gravity of gold is 19.5. Those of you who know physics. Specific gravity of silver is 10.7. Brass is 8. Can you see how it is reducing? From 19 to 10. Brass 8. Iron is 5. Amen. And we know that the specific gravity of clay is 1.93. So the image is heavy at the top and very weak on the balance. So what will happen? It is already designed to collapse. You know why buildings collapse in Nigeria and the whole world? When the weight on top is heavier than what, you know, the legs it can hold. When you use fake materials, instead of pure iron, you mix it with the clay. What will happen? It will collapse. It will collapse. Our engineer brought, when they came to supply our iron rods, our engineer said they have tests for original iron. The original iron must be able to bend. The one they brought, they smuggled it among the ones they were bringing. You know, Nigerian market. It must undergo tests. All our faith shall undergo tests. To see whether you can bend or you will break. And when he bent the line, they do back up. He said, back to sender. And then bring the original one. And so that is how the kingdom of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It degenerates in value, in strength, from the head down to the toes. Even the whole world system, as time is going, the value of everything is diminishing. Even in construction material, even in materials, what do you call it? Manufacture of materials. Everything now is going gradually to plastic. Our cars now, no iron inside again. Now plastic. Plastic. Everything now is going plastic. Gradually. Praise the Lord. The same thing. Even life expectancy now is degenerating and going until when somebody reach 80 years, they say, he tried. But our forefathers lived 600 years. Bible history tells us how old Abraham lived, how old Isaac lived, how old a woman is already 50 years, they are screaming, menopause. Diminishing. The whole system is degenerating. Life. Even value for fellow human beings is degenerating. The value for life is no more. To kill means nothing again. Before, if you see blood, you say, but now when you see blood, you say, see the way they kill him. Hey, they cut your neck. It doesn't shake you again. Immorality, moral values, totally destroyed. Everything is crumbling. It's crumbling. Everything is crumbling. It is evidence. The end is near.